to The Sound of Economics, the economic policy podcast from Bruegel, the think tank in Brussels. Today's episode is going to be a slightly different format from what we're used to. We're hosting a conversation. So with me is Guntram Wolf, the director of Bruegel, and a former director of Bruegel, Jean Pisani-Ferry, has come back to speak with us. Jean Pisani-Ferry is just finishing up a role as the ideas man of Emmanuel Macron, who's just won the French presidential election. I'm not going to intervene very much from now, and I'm just going to hand over to our two guests to have a conversation about what the French election might mean for France and for Europe. Guntram, off you go.
Well, thank you very much, Jean. It's a pleasure to have you back and to have that conversation. Thank you. And so I think there's really two points, I think, that I want to discuss today. I mean, one point is about France and the reform process in France. And I think what we've seen in the French election is actually quite comparable on a number of dimensions to what has happened in the Brexit referendum as well as in the vote in the United States. It is an urban-rural divide. So we've seen that the cities have voted for a liberal, pro-globalization, integrationist candidate, while the countryside has very much felt left behind and has voted for Marine Le Pen in the case of France or for Brexit and Donald Trump in the United States. So I guess one of the big challenges for the new French government will be about addressing this urban-rural divide. And so I was wondering what has been your thinking on this issue when you were also designing the program?
I very much agree on the similarity of the divide. I wouldn't say it's exactly urban-rural divide. It's clearly the larger cities that are doing well versus the smaller cities and part of the rural areas that are struggling. And to that, I would add sort of the Rust Belt versus new growth areas. So in the French case, northeast, southwest. But it's location matters a lot. I mean, you have the skill dimension, the education dimension, you have the sort of personal perception about the future dimension, but location matters. And I think it's a major challenge to all advanced economies and beyond to find tools to help redress this imbalance that is building up. So because the situation is that people in many places, they just hope for the state to give them something. So they essentially, it's the industrial companies, they close down, they go, new jobs are not being created, they depend very much on the public sector, and the question is, what do we bring to them? So I think the answer, we don't have a ready-made answer to that. But the number of things we've got to mobilize. One is ensuring that everybody's got same access to basic needs. I mean, education, the quality of education, the possibility of upward mobility personally, obviously healthcare, etc. So that's one thing. Second, to ensure that being distant doesn't mean being left out in terms of having access to broadband, having access to transport services, those are important dimensions. You have, agglomeration. As economists, we know agglomeration matters, but it does not matter for everything. Mm-hmm. There are some industry for which agglomeration is not needed at all. I mean, the back office doesn't need to be located in cities where real estate is expensive. They can be moved in smaller cities, provided you have a good transportation system, provided you have broadband access. Now, the tax system probably has to be also rethought in terms of compensating this agglomeration advantage that bigger cities enjoy. So I think there is a series of things you can do, none of which is sort of, the sort of magic weapon.
Mm-hmm. Well, perhaps we turn already to the European dimension of the whole debate. Emmanuel Macron has, of course, won the election by openly being pro-European, and I think that's really a novelty in European politics. I mean, not just in French politics, but I would say more broadly in European politics, I fail to really remember a major candidate in a major country in the last 10, 15, or even 20 years that has put Europe at the heart of the debate. Europe has always been something to rather hide instead to vote for. But Emmanuel Macron has had a very explicit...
Perhaps more in Germany.
Perhaps more in Germany, but I think it's rather broad. Even in Italy, it's been quite some time since someone has openly and aggressively also.
I was saying in Germany. I remember election that where Europe was part of the platform very explicitly. That's whereas right. In France, for a very long time, right. I haven't seen it.
Yes. So I think it's really new, and we have now a pro-European candidate, and he has expressed some, I think, very sensible calls on the European agenda. For example, to create an agency that allows to protect European companies against foreign takeover if security concerns are at stake. I mean, this is just one dimension where I think we will have some serious developments in Europe. But of course, the more controversial part is the discussion on the Eurozone itself, where we've seen a call for a Eurozone budget, which surprisingly was translated in some of the German debate as a call for Euro bonds. And that's not the same thing. It's different things. And I think some of these reflexes in Germany have been really unfortunate, and I very much regret them. Having said this, I think it's time for a debate on the Eurozone.
Sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, Emmanuel Macron, you're right, won on a very explicit pro-European platform, and this is the first time we've seen it since at least the 80s. And he ended a sort of long-standing attitude of not speaking about Europe because it is divisive, because each political camp has its pro and anti-European. So essentially, you know, Europe was put aside. And the fact that he won, having had this attitude, is very significant domestically, and also, I think, has significance at European level. Now, that is not going to make him an easy partner, because mm-hmm. that means... He's put political capital on having something, you know, it doesn't mean that people are satisfied with Europe. It means that people expect something from Europe, that they consider that the EU, the Eurozone, are part of the answer in the world we live in. But that means he will be, and people behind him will be demanding, will expect something. So the traditional attitude involved a sort of status quo bias. You don't demand much, you don't expect much, and so things they are. Macron is not going to be like that. So this means something for a number of policies, including the Eurozone. And on the Eurozone, he spoke about a Eurozone budget, but more generally he spoke about, you know, the fact that we cannot be satisfied with the performance of the Eurozone, that we not be satisfied with the way we deal with the risks that still exist, between the overall economic performance, the way we went through this crisis that has been very much a European crisis or a Eurozone crisis, the way we are preparing for the shocks that may come, all that requires a more serious discussion than the one we've had since essentially 2012. When there was a decision on banking union, mm-hmm. there were the whatever it takes by Mario Draghi, and you know that defined an agenda, the banking union agenda, which has not been completed fully. Lots has been done, but not been completely completed. And then for the rest, nothing happened. And I think that we have to restart the discussion on the future of the Eurozone, and restart it not by asking ourselves, what is feasible tomorrow? What are the issues we agree immediately? What's sort of the low-hanging fruit? But more on, you know, what are the fundamental issues we've got to solve?
No, I think this is exactly a good word to end. I mean, we need a serious debate about what are the real issues that need to be addressed. We need to recognize that complacency is not the way forward, and the ECB's policy won't be there forever. So I think there's been a lot of complacency thanks to ECB policies that were necessary, but that led the political system to believe that everything is fine. And I think it's very important to have that debate, to have a debate about how to complete banking union, and to have a debate on what is really missing in this monetary union. And please rest assured that we at Bruegel, we will continue to contribute to this debate.
Thank you, Gunther, and thank you, Jean-Pierre Ferry, for coming back to Brussels to join us today. And indeed, Bruegel will be keeping a very close eye on developments in France and what that means for the Eurozone and the wider European economy. You can find lots of work on issues related to this on our website at www.bruegel.org. I hope you'll join us again for another edition of The Sound of Economics.